Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Just between us.
Hey!
Just between us.
A writer, director, and shoulder-length terror.
Ah, okay. Hi, I'm Gabby Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, and I love bananas. Oh my god, I didn't say wink. Wink! I love bananas.
Yeah, you forgot wink.
Sorry.
Yeah, I recently, not that you asked, but I chopped my hair off again. And now I'm rocking the shoulder length.
I love it.
It's so freeing, and it also just feels more like me in some weird way.
Really? Because you always have kind of mostly had very long hair.
I know. That's why it's so interesting. I don't know if I'm the only person who's ever, like, looked at their 65-year-old mom and been like, I want to look exactly like her. I was like, I love her haircut. I must have it for myself.
Yeah. I mean, your mom has always had, like, short hair, right? Like, that's been her hairstyle your whole life.
Yeah, but now it's like longer than it used to. It used to be like really short.
Ah.
But I don't know. I think that maybe I feel so different from who I was like in my 20s that having the long hair felt like I was like holding on to something I wasn't anymore. And I was like holding on to these patriarchal ideas of beauty and femininity and all this stuff. And now I'm like, fuck it. I have this short hair and I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm growing my hair out very long.
We're in different parts of our journey.
I know. I find it easier to deal with when it's long.
I can still put my hair up, though. If I couldn't, then would be more annoying. Anyway, this is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice,
ridiculous games,
and brutal honesty.
So I have a podcast coming out called Apocalypse Untreated. It's with Audible Originals, and it's about 5 teenagers who are in a mental health rehab facility, and they experience the end of the world, and they're dealing with not just that, but the end of their prescriptions. And it's something that I wanted to write that is a love letter to ending disability stigma, and hoping to destigmatize a lot of mental illnesses or erase some myths about mental illnesses. And I wrote it because I have bipolar disorder, and I just really wanted to write a genre show with someone with bipolar disorder. So I've just seen a lot of incorrect portrayals of bipolar disorder specifically, and so I very much wanted to contribute to media with my own experiences that may be a little bit less like, hey, bipolar people are murderers. So that comes out September 24th, or it did come out already on September 24th. So please check it out.
It's amazing. And I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
And also, In addition to being excited for you, your other show, we have a great episode of this show for you right now.
We're going to be asking some tough questions to former Bachelor contestant and podcaster Becca Martinez.
And later, we'll be discussing OnlyFans, what it is, and why celebrities using it is somewhat controversial.
Yeah.
But first, hit it! International question! International question! International question! Hal, Seattle. And I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. I apologize. So the subject is white roommate, ?
Oh, very, I love that.
Very enticing. Hey, Allison and Gabby, I've been watching and listening to you since I was in ninth grade, and I'm now a freshman in college. Both of you have really helped me grow into my own in terms of my mental health and sexuality, super bi since day one. Mm-hmm. I will always be grateful for all the times I could lean on you guys throughout high school and see you as my online mentors. I was wondering if you had any advice in terms of getting along with your roommate. Even though it's not the safest, I'm moving into my college dorm because I cannot function as a student in my family home. Aww. I barely made it through senior year with remote learning and want to have my own space. I didn't choose a roommate because I didn't really know anyone who was going to be at my university. So I was assigned to one, and even though my roommate has been super sweet, she is a rich white girl who lives in a white neighborhood and only posts with white friends on her Instagram. I can tell she's excited to move in, and I am too, but I've never lived with someone so ... white. My daily life as an indigenous Mexican is going to be super different from her in many ways. For instance, I plan on setting up a shrine for my family's home country, Saint. For some context, I was born and raised in Seattle. My roommate also grew up here, but my parents were born and raised in Mexico. I grew up with a strong immigrant community. My roommate is from a white neighborhood. I'm sure she'll be respectful of my culture. It's more about the transition we will go through together and how to best navigate that on my end. Hope you guys are staying safe. By the way, as a longtime viewer, Allison's engagement felt like the best real life arc of all time.
Oh my God, I'm happy for you.
That was so sweet. Thank you. So I felt a little conflicted about picking this question because we are both white. But I also felt like it's an important topic and deserves some discussion.
Yeah, especially when you go to college and you meet people who are very different. You finally are like around. A lot of times I would think specifically for white kids, they haven't been around a lot of people if they're coming from a specific background. They haven't been around a lot of people who are different. But I also don't know if you should assume that because, I mean, you both grew up in Seattle and maybe... I mean, I don't know. I think you are right to look into her and question some stuff. You seem to have done your research.
I guess, like, again, it's sort of like, oh, this burden of feeling like, am I going to have to explain what this shrine is? Am I going to have to, like, explain, you know, like, are we going to, like, meet halfway? Or is it going to be me having to, like, explain my culture and like, have her coming in expecting yeah. hers to be the norm, you know? And so I totally, right. absolutely understand all of that.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing that I can say is give her the opportunity to potentially surprise you.
Right, yeah.
In that, you know, I feel like people your age are so much hipper and more with it than a lot of other generations have been. And a lot of times it's like, yes, you have all white friends, but that might just be because that's the school her parents put her in.
Yeah.
And not like a conscious choice. And so now that maybe that she's getting to college, her friend group will expand and potentially be more diverse and more integrated. I mean, I feel so uncomfortable all the time. I must think about it at least once a day that all of my close friends are white. And
yeah.
it's been interesting because I'm like, well, what do I do about that? Because it feels weird for me to like go out of my way to befriend someone who isn't white because then I'm like, am I, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know what to do. And I think all the time about my wedding and how it's like going to be white and like what and like how I care so much about social justice. And that's not at all what I envisioned my life or wanted my life to be. But that's what it is. And like, what do I do about that? And do I do anything about that? Because then is that like fetishizing? Like, I just don't know.
Well, I think it has to start with the places that you, I mean, if you're in high school going into college, I understand that you might not have access to things, but as an adult, it has to do with the communities that you put yourself in or the hobbies that you choose or the like ways in which you go about the world. I mean, I think there is something, not necessarily picking one Black person and making them your best friend, but like, are you volunteering for like social justice, racial justice communities where you might meet different people? Are you going to like friends' plays that you might consider to be like something that is outside of your purview, like a African-centered play or a play or like a Chinese like dance performance or something? Like, I feel like there are ways to get yourself involved in these other communities in a way that then creates other friend groups.
And school has been really cool because school is like so many different people from so many different backgrounds and stuff. It's
right.
Just, you know, it's hard to like form like full friendships with people, especially like over Zoom.
Yeah.
And I definitely like know a lot of people from different backgrounds and people of color and Black people and everything. But it's like for whatever reason, in terms of like hang out individually, close friend, you know, like and it's really made me like examine like I don't think any of it was intentional, but it is like this, you know? And so honestly, your roommate might be feeling uncomfortable in her own whiteness. And like, she might like be so excited to like get to live with you and like hang out with you and like expand her worldview. And so I don't know. It is, especially in this time where it's so important to like be aware of race and fight against racism and be so vocally anti-racist. And then like, then the examination of your own life. I don't know. Like, I'm scared to even be talking about this on the podcast, but it's also just like a reality of my current life. But also, I want to say that I am friends with Tamika. I don't want Tamika to feel like I'm not friends with her. I just mean that like we don't like go out to lunch and have like 3-hour lunches, just the two of us.
I'm just saying.
I'd love to if you want to, Tamika. But,
but when Tamika became our producer, I invited her to things. Like, I think there are ways to, and this is not about Tamika, but I think
actually,
like,
can Tamika join in? Will you join us for this, Tamika?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'm going to get into the other room where the audio is a little better.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So I feel like I've been in this situation, moving around different parts of the country in college. And the advice I would have is you're going to need patience.
Yeah, you're gonna need patience. Exactly.
And also expect imperfection and sort of like missteps in the dialogue. Like, I've had people ask if they can touch my hair, just things that people are curious about and they haven't had the exposure to know that what they're asking or saying or, you know, wanting from you is inappropriate. Because like someone saying something offensive can be coming from a bad place or could be coming from a place of just not knowing any better. And while it's uncomfortable to be in the position to have to teach people, and sometimes those don't end up being actual friendships. Like, I don't want to be someone's teacher. Over time, I had to develop more empathy so that I could give someone the opportunity to learn and to not make the same mistakes again when they're around someone that looks different from them.
Well, also, she's not the default, the white woman. Like, if you want to put up a shrine to your Mexican ancestors, like, you're allowed to do that just like she's allowed to put up a poster of One Direction. Like, she making her comfortable is not the default. Like, she has to understand your stuff, too. It's a shared space.
I'm not sure if this listener is worried about the shrine or feeling like it's not their space to put up the shrine, but it sounds like maybe this person is more anxious of having to explain something and like the energy it takes to like, to kind of just explain yourself kind of. It's like, it's just, it gets to be exhausting. And I think that maybe they're just thinking about the energy it's going to have to take for this to be normalized in their space.
I also think that maybe there is some like, mythology to like your freshman year roommate.
And I know. Like, I didn't get along with mine.
Like, yeah, mine terrorized me. She was like not a good person. And so I think that maybe if you kind of go into it more like, okay, this is like just a person I was randomly assigned to and like be hopeful that there will be a connection there. But if there's not, knowing that like as long as the two of you can respect each other and like respect each other's spaces and not have people over at hours when someone is studying and not, you know, like one person monopolize all of the space. Like, mm-hmm. you guys don't need to be best friends. Obviously, it's so much easier when you go to college if, like, the first person you see becomes your best friend.
Yeah.
But, like, being okay with, like, it going in a different direction. And if you feel like this is not somebody who respects you or respects your space, you can always change roommates, which I think people feel like they maybe can't, but you can mm-hmm. always go and talk to your school about it and see what can be done.
I do think that it is, like, beneficial to everyone to have friends from all different backgrounds. And, mm-hmm. you know, if she wants to come to some kind of, like, prayer thing you're doing, if that's allowed, you know, that would be cool to bring her. Or if you have, like, a favorite restaurant that you want to bring her to. I mean, you're not obligated to do any of these things. You're not obligated to teach anybody or whatever. But I think, like, as a white person, being open to new experiences and also being open to listening and also, like, putting yourself in spaces where you're able to make friends who are different is a choice.
Totally. And I also think, you know, this doesn't just apply to this situation, but just, like, trying not to make assumptions about people until you meet them. And, like, yeah. once you meet them, absolutely, she could be just the way that you're afraid that she's going to be. But, like, yeah. you know, don't put that stress on yourself of worrying about something before it's happened.
Yeah.
Because then it's just fucking up your internal life and, like, making just this going to college is scary enough.
Yeah.
So just try to, like, be calm going into it. Let her reveal herself to yeah. you. And like Tamika said, I'm sure she will make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But if you're able to, I think, you know, Tamika's approach is really beautiful and helpful mm-hmm. and can be a cool goal to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to say that know or expect that you will make other friends and totally. Have other connections on campus. It sounds like they don't know anyone. This listener doesn't know anyone yet. So that connection with a roommate probably seems really important. And it's definitely going to give you a more sense of home, I guess, in your dorm if you guys are close. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, that's okay. You'll still find your own space on campus and your own people to confide in and make you feel safe and comfortable.
And there's also so many roommates who live really well together but are not close, mm-hmm. which I know might feel kind of like foreign if you have never had a roommate, but it's really possible.
Well, especially
to, like,
in college, you're sharing a room, which I don't
yeah,
know why
so
they make you do
so
that.
It feels so intimate, but ugh. Like I think there is like a way where like, maybe you are right that you don't have a lot in common with this girl, but I think you can still have your space be a place of peace and feel safe and like it be shared, even if you're not like going out with her every night.
Yeah. Yeah, so. You will make other friends.
We've been thinking about this all in this assumption that people are going to go to class.
Ah! Oh, God. Yeah,
oh, my God.
Right.
You're
it's
right.
It's just them in the room together.
Oh, my God. You're right. You're right. Oh, my God. Yeah, when did you write this question? Before COVID?
No, she said she's going even though, you know, because she can't learn at home.
Oh my God. So that's well, even yeah, more so, stressful.
So I totally get it. You know, again, I think know that you don't know this person, so have an open mind, but also know that if it is a problematic situation, there are resources, and if there's suites you could potentially switch, you can yeah. you know, there's some options, so don't feel like, oh my God, I have to live with this person no matter what. Hopefully there'll be options if it comes to that.
But also, man, you really, I guess you really are locked in with COVID. Terrifying.
Well, don't end on that.
I'm so glad I'm not in college and that's the end of the segment.
Oh my God. I hope that Tamika helped you during this question.
Exactly.
If you want to submit your international question, send it to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. That's justbetweenuspod@gmail.com.
Up next, we've got an exciting interview with our highly esteemed guest, Becca Martinez. Stay tuned. Just between us.
Hey. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her mylifeinabook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with mylifeinabook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, Truvaga.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, Go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions.
This week on the show, we have podcaster and former Bachelor contestant, Becca Martinez. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here.
So, as everyone knows, I'm obsessed with Bachelor Nation, and I'm also obsessed with you. So, you were on the show in 2018 for Ari's season, and you were really kind of
a standout,
but also an original contestant, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, not just because you were younger, which everyone loved to bring up. But also, even just in that you had short hair.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe that that was like the first time in 22 seasons that anyone had hair above their shoulders? Like, I know it's kind of edgy, but it can't be that edgy. That just blew my mind.
But that's like why it was so awesome, because as we'll get into, Bachelor is very conservative, and then you came in and you didn't fit that mold. So can you kind of talk a little bit about what that was like and if you even intended to do that or it just happened?
Yeah, I mean, I was obsessed with The Bachelor. I loved watching it. You can ask anyone that knows me. I was watching it for years before I first started watching. Shout out to Ali Sadowski's season. So anyway, I've been watching for years, and I actually always used to tell like my boyfriends, I'd be like, oh, next time I'm single, like when we break up, I'm going to go on The Bachelor. And I'd always say that. Of course, you have to be 21 to go on the show just because of drinking and stuff, I guess. So anyway, I got in a pretty bad breakup the summer of 2017. And then I heard that there was an open casting. I lived in LA and I heard there was an open casting in Orange County. And if you'll remember, everyone thought that Peter was going to be the Bachelor that season. So I was oh my God, I was a huge Peter fan. I was obsessed with him. I was like, oh, he's going to be the Bachelor. I have to audition. In fact, I remember when I went to the open casting, I was really hungover and I just kept telling myself as I was getting ready, I was like, you're doing this for Peter. You're doing this for Peter. So I went to the audition and then the rest is history. And I definitely kind of knew, I think, that I might be a little different from other people on the show. You know, just having watched, it was, I mean, always lots of amazing women, but just maybe women that didn't have the same sort of style or even just like lifestyle as me. A lot of like beautiful wavy haired blondes with, you know, their makeup and outfits all perfect and on point all the time. And I was just like, okay, that's not 100% me, but I think I have something to offer. And I just thought it would be the experience of a lifetime, and it definitely was. So I think I was kind of aware that it would be different, and I also knew there had never been a girl with short hair in particular, so I was hoping to kind of break that mold.
I remember one article that I really loved where you talked about the clothes for The Bachelor and getting all the clothes you needed to get and how actually expensive it is to go on the show.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can you talk a bit about that? Because I think people watching don't know.
Oh, totally. I mean, how many people just have one cocktail dress in their closet, much less like 10 and formal gowns all that? You see all these people with these crazy, gorgeous outfits on the show, and they don't provide you with any of that. They don't provide you with hair and makeup. They don't provide you with any sort of wardrobe. So literally, you get a packing list, and it's like, bring a selection of formal gowns and like cocktail dresses, and they don't give you any details on where you're going to go. So they're basically like, just bring clothing for any possible type of weather. Like, you may be in the snow and you may be in the Bahamas, so just prepare for whatever. And they tell you to only bring two suitcases, and any more suitcases you have to pay for when you go on flights. So that was absolutely nuts. I didn't have any like formal wear at all. So luckily, living in LA, I had connections with friends who had like, what do they call it? Basically studios where they have a bunch of samples, like PR kind of thing. Yeah. So basically I just went and picked out a bunch of gowns and stuff that I was able to borrow. And then whatever I wasn't able to borrow from those sort of like PR fashion places. I just like got stuff from Nordstrom Rack and kept the tags on and returned some of it when I got back. So that was definitely crazy.
I mean, that's kind of just one example of how exclusionary it is, right? Because people who can't afford that can't do the show.
Also, who can take 2 months off of work? Like, that was crazy. Yeah. I had to quit my job to go on the show. And that was nuts.
Where were you working?
I was a nanny at the time. And so that was definitely one of those jobs. Some of the girls on the show, like, their offices, like, allowed them to take 8 weeks of leave. And obviously, being a nanny, not like, I mean, they don't really have any other option. They have to hire someone else. So, and you also don't get paid to be on the show at all. No per diem, no nothing. So you're taking 2 months off of work, maybe even losing your job to go on the show. And then you still have to pay rent and bills and whatever else is going on at home while not having that income for 2 months. So it's definitely a little bit stressful.
What made you decide to risk that?
Oh, I was just like, how often do you get this chance to go on this huge reality show? And I thought it was going to be an amazing experience, and it was, and it was 100% worth it. I would definitely do it all over again.
You also had a lot of controversy surrounding you after the show because,
oh my God, yeah.
So that was like such a controversial season in that Ari picked a different Becca and then broke up with her on camera so that he could get engaged to and marry his runner-up. And you kind of spoke out against that. Can you kind of say what you did and why you felt compelled to share?
I mean, definitely thinking back on it, some of it's a little cringy. I'm like, oh my God, did I really have to go that hard? And some of the shit I said was just like, just downright mean. Like, I remember I was saying like, Ari's going to cheat on Lauren, like within 6 months of them getting together. And there's stuff like that. I was like, okay, why did I need to go that hard? That was totally uncalled for. And just like, I don't know why I would say that, but I felt really defensive because the other Becca was one of my really good friends on the show. And, you know, I had been talking on the phone with her all the time after she got engaged to Ari, and, you know, she was over the moon. And then just to see how, like, at first, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, that's sad, but, you know, these kind of things do happen. But then actually seeing the breakup, that just was so disappointing. It was like the way that he handled everything just felt, well, I mean, they said it was unedited. I guess he says now that it totally was edited, so who knows what the case is with that. But what we saw on television just made him look like such an asshole. And I felt so bad for her, felt bad for Becca, as did everyone else. And so basically, I just on any outlet that was interviewing me or whatever, I was basically like, fuck Ari. I mean, I felt really defensive of my friend, and it was funny because a lot of people after were like, oh, she's over it. She's on The Bachelorette now. Like, why can't you be over it too? And what I wanted to say was like, guys, of course she has to like act like she's over it. She's about to go on this new journey to try to find, you know, a new fiance, but that's something that sticks with you a long time. Like, it's fairly traumatizing to be broken up with in that way, much less on national television with millions of people watching. So yeah, I just felt really like defensive and protective of her. And it was really difficult to watch after all of that. So.
And also, it's not like you had been a public figure for that long.
No. So,
do you feel like there was an adjustment in like, oh, now when I say something, it's all across the news?
Yes. In fact, it was something that took me like over a year to learn. Like, I sort of thought that when I would go on podcasts or interviews, naively, I sort of figured that only a handful of people were going to listen to it. I don't know why I really thought that. And then, yeah, I would see very, very provocative headlines blasted all over the place on like E! News and Access and whatever, being like, Becca Martinez says blah, 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 blah. And it was like, oh my God, I had no idea how to deal with that. And no one teaches you how to deal with all the attention either, because like you say one thing and everyone loves it and thinks you're hilarious. And then, you know, you're like, okay, this is fun. And then you say another thing and suddenly everyone wants to come for your head. And it's just like, no one teaches you how to navigate that kind of thing. you just get thrown in the midst of it.
And you were also very young. So I feel like when I was 21, I don't even know what I would have said in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
I did say stupid things. I mean, so, but what's also interesting about you, besides obviously the short hair that made people like, I think people could read that there was like a more liberal perspective coming off of you, or I mean, you've spoken up about certain things that I think like other people in Bachelor Nation wouldn't speak up about.
Yeah.
And you came into it, I think, more of a liberal than the other people on the show. What makes you want to say something about a situation, or what makes you want to speak up when you see something?
Well, I mean, there's obviously things that we all have different things that we're passionate about, right? And for me, I just have always felt like I've always tried to be really true to myself, just like on social media and all that sort of thing. So I was just like, look, I feel this way, so I'm going to say it. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I've always felt a responsibility to, one, be honest about how I feel. And two, I feel like there's a responsibility to speak up and say something when no one else is, if there's like, you know, injustice going on or something that people need to know about. And so, yeah, I just felt like if I have that many people listening and watching, I should talk about things that matter, not just about like beauty and hair products.
And that kind of came to a head recently with BLM and Blue Lives Matter. Can you talk a little bit about what happened there?
You know what? It's something that I really go back and forth about now, because I'm like, all right, sometimes there are things that need to be said. And then other times it's like, who am I speaking to? Am I speaking to people that might listen and might, you know, gain a new perspective and change their opinion? Or am I just like shouting into the void, just having people who already agree with me support me? You know, it's like, if that's the case, what am I really accomplishing? But basically, you know, in the wake of all of these horrible things that are going on, all of these injustices, I was seeing a lot of people, of course, focus on Blue Lives Matter. And one thing that just bothers me about Blue Lives Matter is like, there's no such thing as, just a little side note, there's like no such thing as a blue life, and people who are cops choose that profession and can leave that profession. This is the whole point of my post. But Black people can't choose to like leave their skin color behind, or, you know, change into a different kind of person that look like the, people don't have that kind of choice, but they do have that choice in their profession. So anyway, I was getting frustrated with all of that, and it kind of really peaked because, funny enough, Becca's fiance at the time, I guess they're split now. He basically, you know, he had had a lot of problematic behavior in the past with particularly social media. You know, he said he changed, yada, yada, yada. He was noticeably silent with everything after the protest and after the murder of George Floyd. And he posted, you know, a black square and whatever. And then he decided to basically write a whole dissertation about this, basically saying Blue Lives Matter. And I commented something underneath it, and he went berserk and was like, I don't know, said on his story that I wasn't invited over to their house anymore. I was like, okay, buddy, whatever. But, all right.
Were you guys still like socially hanging out at that point?
I mean, we would talk on the phone every like 6 months or so. That was just weird. I was like, I cannot imagine if my boyfriend said that to one of my friends, I don't care what kind of beef they have on the internet. If he straight up said for me, like, you're not invited over, oof, I would not be happy about that. But anyway, so I did a post on my feed, and it was saying all the stuff that I just said about like how blue lives are not a thing. And the second photo and the little slides was a Blue Lives Matter flag, in the toilet, or the thin blue line flag, or whatever. It was specifically the one with the American flag and the blue line, which is usually aligned with Blue Lives Matter. And people lost their shit over that.
To you?
Oh, yeah. I lost 15,000 followers over that post, which...
Oh, my God.
Is like, actually, I've never had any kind of fallout like that in the past. It was actually kind of shocking. And yeah, people were getting, they were just going absolutely crazy under that post, freaking out. And what blew my mind is that people were getting so passionate and so angry about this symbolic flag in the toilet. And they didn't have mm-hmm. any of the same kind of anger or fervor over literally watching a video of a black man being murdered by a cop. So that was pretty crazy.
Do you feel like with Bachelor Nation that most people don't talk politics? Like, cause I've always been so curious with like how Becca ended up with Garrett. Like, are those conversations not happening? I know they're not showing them on air, but you would think that at least behind the scenes, as you're getting to know someone and potentially falling in love with someone, you'd be talking about your political values.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, like I have to give Becca credit and say like, maybe she assumed that production was going to only put people on her season who aligned with her values, since she made them very clear, you know? So, I mean, that's a possibility, but yeah, I mean, we definitely talked about religion. I remember on Ari's season, and that was really interesting, but I think it just depends on the person. And I think maybe that people have learned moving forward that it is important to make sure someone's on the same page.
But you are also a rebel in that so many people, especially when you're like a breakout star the way you were, they then kind of like ride the Bachelor train, right? You
sure.
do Paradise, you do all the things, and you were invited to do Paradise and then you declined because you'd met your current boyfriend. What was that thought process? Was that a tough decision?
Oh my God, it was a super tough decision. In fact, when we started dating in February of that year, it was sort of like, oh, we're just going to casually date and then I'm going to go on Paradise because you know, this will be a good opportunity. And anybody who says it's not a career move is like lying to themselves or everyone else, because you're going to sometimes double your followers, which means that you're going to make more money. Like, it definitely is something that has to do with like your career and how you're going to make money in the future. But as we kept seeing each other, it was definitely getting more serious, and it was really, really hard. And then I was honestly sort of scared going into Paradise, because I was like, wow, I thought they made me look great on Ari's season. And I was just like, what if that doesn't happen? Like, what if for some reason, like people hate me on Paradise, or, you know, I get into some draw. I don't know. I was kind of scared about all of that. And ultimately I just decided that it was more important for me to be with the person that I loved right where I was and go to try something else or try dating someone else or try to like boost my career. I was just like, you know what? I've been so blessed coming off of the show with like the people who follow me and care about me right now as it is. Like, I don't really need any more exposure, and I don't need that experience of trying to date other people, because I'm content right where I am. And then it turned out I was pregnant when we would have been filming midway. So that had sort of gone away too.
Fascinating storyline.
Oh my God, can you imagine? They're like, she's throwing up. Is she hungover? She didn't drink the night before.
Oh my God.
No, she's just pregnant.
Oh my God. You know, you mentioned having to quit your job and having to spend all this money to go on the show. I can see the cycle of like, I have to get enough followers that I can get sponsorships and brand deals and all that.
Oh my God. Yeah. You definitely sort of get consumed with the numbers and, you know, are you still relevant and are people still going to care about you? Because it's like, it is an adrenaline rush when you have the attention of so many people in the country, and then all of a sudden that just starts to fade out, and then you don't really know what to do with yourself anymore. I mean, it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it like sort of adapting back to normal life, and even just like, you know, to then have to, when you're giving birth and being a mom, and like, obviously it's not the same as like when you're just like posting hot Instagram photos.
Oh my God. Totally.
How do you kind of like break that addiction to the attention?
I mean, thankfully, the one benefit of living in LA is that everyone either doesn't give a shit or pretends like they don't give a shit. Like, everyone acts like they're too cool, you know, to like recognize who you are when you're out in public. It's kind of funny because like no one would ever really say anything. And then me and like Kendall would be at a bar, and then when people get drunk, then they start coming up to you being like, you're on The Bachelor. Oh my God. Maybe people in LA don't want to admit that they want that they watch The Bachelor. I don't know. But it was weird when I'd be at the airport or I would travel other places and people would just come up and just start chatting. And sometimes people will like follow you to your gate and just like want to talk to The Bachelor with you. And that is like oh my God, that can be so overwhelming. And especially being pregnant, I wanted to hide it for a really long time. I wanted to keep it something private and to myself. So I would kind of panic. I don't think I announced until I was like 20 weeks pregnant, like in September. And I would kind of panic when I was going into public spaces and I felt like my, you know, baby bump was going to show or whatever. That was really nerve wracking and really stressful and not enjoyable. And I thought I was going to love the attention of like being, quote, famous in public. And I actually ended up really hating it. It was really, it really felt like a violation of privacy. And it was just, yeah, it was a very odd thing to deal with. And I definitely did not like it as much as I thought I would.
Or that there's like expectations or that people think that you're a character on TV when you're just actually a regular person.
Totally.
Like they think they know you because it's beamed into their homes and it's such a beloved franchise. And also you were different, right? Like I think that's the thing that stuck out to most people is that you were different. And and especially to me and every queer woman across Los Angeles, we were like, what's her deal?
What's the deal with this pixie-haired girl?
I mean, another part of being on a show like that is that the whole time people are watching you and judging you, right? You're like, oh, why would they say that? Why did they do this? Whatever. And then that kind of follows you after the show. And then there you are, you know, in your early 20s, you get pregnant. You haven't been with your boyfriend that long. I'm sure so many people had opinions about that. How did you handle hearing all of that?
Well, I mean, this is one thing you learn about like being in the spotlight is everyone's always going to have something to say about anything. It's the most annoying thing. Mm-hmm. Like you could literally say like, oh, the grass is green. And people will be like, well, grass isn't always green because if you don't water your lawn, sometimes then it's yellow or brown.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these people are so fucking annoying. But, you know, I think I was expecting that. Like I was really bracing myself hard to get a lot of kickback. And I was actually really wonderfully surprised at how much support I got and how many people were, I mean, so many people came forward with their stories being like, you know, me and my boyfriend got pregnant 2 months into our relationship and now we've been together like 15 years. And I was actually really overwhelmed with how many people instead like shared love and shared their experiences. And it was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What makes you decide to post like the birth videos or like honest things about being a mom when I think so much of mom social media is picture perfect?
I mean, after the whole thing that we were just talking about with the unexpected pregnancy and the unexpected support, I realized that whenever I post that kind of stuff, so many people are like, yes, me too. And it honestly makes me feel really seen. And I imagine like, okay, if when I post this stuff and people respond, that makes me feel seen. Imagine how people must feel, you know, seeing someone who's in like the quote unquote spotlight. Like how must that make them feel? And when I see other people post that kind of stuff, it makes me feel less alone and it makes me feel seen. And so I think that's really important for me.
What's the plan? Like, you know, like now that Bachelor is behind and you're building your own empire and everything, like what do you want your future to look like?
You know, I'm trying to figure that out right now because we're still in the greater LA area. We're in Long Beach and I don't know. I like in terms of where we live, I kind of see us going somewhere else in the future, but I don't know where. I mean, it's been kind of scary being here in the LA area with everything that's happened this year. And so maybe I want to be somewhere a little more rural to raise our kids. But, you know, the podcast Chatty Broads is thriving. I love having a place where I get to just rant and talk with one of my best friends, you know, for like 4 hours a week total. It's awesome. I'm sure you guys understand what that feels like. And
my partner is a huge fan of the podcast, by the way.
No way. Oh, that's awesome. Love it.
Huge fan. I hear it around the house as they're cooking and doing stuff.
Oh, man, that makes me so happy. So, yeah, there's that. And then I'm also actually developing an eco-conscious clothing line right now that should be releasing sometime in the next couple months. That's been crazy with COVID and all that should be earlier this year. That's called The Good Alma, and everything is 100% organic cotton. So, I mean, I'm just really having fun right now, like just figuring out what is exciting for me, what's fun for me, and yeah, seeing what kind of things I can create that people will love and respond to.
I think it's exciting that everybody's sort of on the journey with you. Versus you being like, and this is where I am, and this, and I'm not telling you how I got here, you know?
Because I'm always so curious about how people end up, you know, with the projects that they end up in.
And to see that you didn't give your life to it, that you were able to say, you know, I don't need to become part of this machine. I can step away and go my own path, I found to be very empowering.
Well, that's really flattering. That's like the best thing that I could hear on my end. So I appreciate that.
Would you like to play a game show?
I would love to play a game show.
Amazing. Woo! Okay. Woo! Okay. So this is called Hypotheticals. You and Gabby are my contestants. I'm the game show master. So I'm Chris Harrison.
Fantastic.
I'm going to give you a series of hypothetical situations and you decide what you would do in those situations or your answer. But you can ask like any clarifying questions you have.
Oh, this sounds fun. Okay.
All right, so our first game is America's favorite game show. Would you stay with this cheater?
Okay.
While engaged to your partner of 2 years.
Stop it.
Oh my okay. God.
While engaged to your partner of 2 years, your partner suddenly has a change of heart and decides they would prefer to be with / marry their high school sweetheart.
Oh my God.
2 weeks later, they come back to you claiming they made a big mistake and now they know for sure you are the one for them.
What? So wait, they already left this you? Cheater? In this hypothetical situation, they left you and what? They like went and hooked up with this high school lover and then they decided they made a mistake?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, after 2 weeks. They've come back 2 weeks later, but they also promised to do all of your laundry for the year if you take them back. Would you stay with this cheater?
No, I gotta go. I think I have to go. I mean, why did they want to come back? What was wrong with the ex?
So they had been fantasizing about their high school sweetheart their entire adult life.
Okay.
And
healthy.
Building it up in their head. And as you guys were getting closer to the wedding, they were like, oh my God, what if I'm meant to be with my high school sweetheart the way I thought for so many years? But then when they went and they had the reality of the high school sweetheart, they realized that there's nothing actually there and that you're the one for them.
This happened to me, but I didn't get back together with him. I just turned him down. But this is a thing that happened. It was wild. But I did not get back together with him for 2 weeks. I just said, you don't know me anymore, buddy. And you're inventing a version of me. So I think.
But it wasn't the same because he didn't leave his fiance.
Wait. You were the high school. You were the high school sweetheart?
I was the high school girlfriend. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He didn't break up with the fiance. He just checked in to see if I would be interested in him breaking up with the fiance.
Which is worse.
And I was like, I'm good. And he was like, okay, had to check. And then got married.
Oh my. Okay.
Everything's great.
Well, okay, this situation is a little bit better because in this hypothetical, the person let their current partner, aka me, know. So I have a little more respect for that instead of them going behind the back and like messaging the ex or whatever.
That's true.
I don't know. I kind of relate to this hypothetical because I feel like I always have the tendency to like over romanticize past relationships. And in my head, that person was like the perfect match for me and yada, 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 even though that's obviously not the case because we broke up. So I don't know. I kind of sympathize with this person, with my partner. I can kind of understand it. And so like, I maybe would get back together with them.
I would not. Well, Who's right?
It turns out that you go on to, well, Becca goes on to have a very happy 30-year marriage.
Yeah.
But at the 30-year mark, he leaves you for his college sweetheart.
Wow.
Come on. And you kind of should have seen that coming.
God damn
it. 30 good years. Pretty good.
30 good years.
Okay. I mean, that's still pretty successful. So whatever. I'm satisfied with that outcome.
Okay, our next game. Are you a terrible parent? Your child, 5, has a terrible case of diarrhea that is hilariously adorable because they keep shouting, "My butt is on fire." You end up filming this and put it on your YouTube channel. It gets 500 million views and earns you a ton of money. But for the rest of your child's life, people shout, "My butt is on fire," when they recognize them.
Oh,
are you
God.
A terrible parent? They also develop a phobia of pooping.
And what is the money going towards?
That was my question.
Like your life.
Okay, my life?
But they should get all of it. No, they should get all
of
it.
Like a college fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pay for their college.
No, it should be their money, not my money. So put a trust fund, like a $5 million trust fund for this kid. That's what I think. Look, you ruined their life. You may as well give them all the profit from it. But also, at the end of the day, you are a terrible parent. I don't like that. I hate that. I hate when people post embarrassing things of their kids and not just like cute, like pictures or whatever.
Oh, shit.
What do you think, Becca?
Okay. Am I Insta-famous or am I just a normal person posting this?
Good You're question. Insta-famous.
Oh, then you knew what would happen.
Okay, yeah. See, that's different. That's different. Then I think you're a bad parent. If you're a normal person, then maybe it's like you're kind of naive and you're just like, oh, this is funny. Like my friends and family will think this is hilarious. In that case, I think that absolves you. But if you're Insta-famous, that's fucked up. Although I guess I posted, something for me to be aware of. moving forward.
Well, anyway, the kid goes on to have a very successful, happy, rich life. But every time they poop, they start screaming.
Oh, my God. That's sad.
Every single time, even like in a public restroom, you just hear someone
so
pooping going,
by it.
Ah! My butt is on fire.
That's so sad.
It's really sad.
Okay. Our final game. Are they an alien or just rude? Okay. Like an alien from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
In this scenario, you are a rather famous influencer. So you guys try to imagine that. While at the mall, a woman walks up to you and exclaims, "I know you." You smile, assuming it's from social media. They then announce that they met you in one of their lucid dreams and you are destined to be good friends.
Oh, no.
She then rattles off a bunch of personal details about your life you supposedly told her in her dream. Is this person an alien or just rude? They don't have an Instagram or Twitter account, but they do have Facebook.
They're an alien.
Do they know me from Facebook?
Well,
no,
or
from
they
their
know
dream.
You from their lucid dream.
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on a second.
This person's an alien, and I will follow anything that they say. They are now my God, and I will follow them anywhere.
That's my right answer.
Oh, because Allison loves aliens.
I love aliens. And I also just love people accepting that the world has suddenly changed very quickly.
So hold on. So am I like a chosen one in any way or?
No, Becca already won. The game's over.
Come on. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at Becca on Instagram, BEKAH. I bought that handle and I am so proud of it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you
this
so much
so
for coming
fun.
On. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Stick around after the break. We'll be talking all about OnlyFans.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for topics!
XXXXXXX, baby!
Baby!
Okay, so relevant, hot topic, spicy topic.
Caliente.
Yeah. So we want to talk about OnlyFans. And let me start off with my rant.
Okay.
I do not like, and I've said this before on the podcast, I do not like when celebrities or non-sex workers use OnlyFans as a punchline, talk about it as if it's something they could do that is edgy.
Can you explain a little bit more what OnlyFans is?
Sure. So it's similar to a Patreon setup where people can pay for subscriptions and also can pay for different specific content from creators. It became very well known as a place for sex workers to sell their wares. And you can subscribe to various like independent sex workers and directly pay for content from them rather than getting porn for free, which comes with some ethical quandaries. Because a lot of the places that post porn for free are taking it from videos that you would normally have to pay for or re-uploading stuff that would normally be behind a paywall. And there's some people on those sites that are posting for free by themselves, like totally. But if you want to get paid for your sex work, OnlyFans is a better place to do that. And it's one of the only places that allows you to, right? So Patreon will kick you off.
Snapchat will kick you off.
You know,
they shut down Craigslist, right?
They shut down Craigslist. Yeah. And even on Craigslist, you had to be a little cagey about what you were asking for or doing. Mm-hmm. And so those places routinely are shut down because they don't want to deal with either like advertisers pulling out or they don't want to deal with stigma or they don't want to deal with government regulation or whatever that is specific to sex workers, which is so unfortunate. But anyway, so OnlyFans is one of the only places that you can do that. And so it's home to tons of independent sex work creators, tons of people who spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money making good pornographic content or erotic content.
And building their fan base.
Building their fan base. I mean, it's a whole thing. It wasn't mainstream. And then it became mainstream, almost to the point that like it's a punchline or people talk about it a lot or it, like, you know, obviously like love Beyonce, but like she talks about OnlyFans in one of her songs. And like The idea is that sex work is stigmatized and like is literally like life or death for some people. And I don't mean that in terms of danger, but I also mean that in terms of this is your income. Mm-hmm. And then it's like made mainstream by people who are using it to be edgy or sexy or whatever, where like, you know, for instance, the actress Bella Thorne created an OnlyFans, and the bit is like, ooh, like this mainstream actress is making, maybe like the titillating part is that she may show a titty.
No, she said she was going to like give a nude photo, and then the photo was not nude. It was right. Her in lingerie. And then it's so many people requested refunds because they'd been scammed out of their $200.
Right.
That OnlyFans, the company, was like overwhelmed by all of these like requests for refunds, that they ended up like changing all of these rules mm-hmm. that now only negatively impact the sex workers who'd been on the platform this whole time because Bella Thorne came on for one day.
Yeah. But I also think it's upsetting to see them selling the idea that you might see them naked, or that you might like without taking into account that like they don't need that money.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, she made $1 million in one day.
Yeah. Two, they're taking money away from people who do need it. And three, I don't know if I'm expressing this correctly, but I hate the idea that this thing is now like considered an edgy or cool or sexy thing to do, when legally there are no protections for sex workers, when there are such hard lifestyle repercussions for people who are outed as sex workers. Like, for someone to be like, ooh, I may or I may not, who can say, and like make money off that, is feels really icky to me.
Do you think though that there's any benefit from like, not people at like Bella Thorne's level, but, you know, maybe people like at our level or something, where they are promoting their OnlyFans and they are, you know, posting nude content and they already have a fan base. Do you think that that helps normalize and destigmatize sex work in any way?
Yeah. If you're actually delivering on the product, then mm-hmm. yes. But I also don't think you need to center yourself in that community or act like now you are an expert or you can speak on that or claim that identity in a way that like centers yourself. Like, in the past I've done sex work, and I would never then like think that that entitles me to publicity about that. I would never do that as like a publicity stunt or something. Like, yes, mm-hmm. I was delivering on the goods. Like, I wasn't like, you might see a titty. No, I was like, you'll see a titty, and then you saw a titty.
Just the one
but like, you know, there might be repercussions to that in the future. Who knows? I don't know that my parents know that I was doing that. You know, there's like all kinds of stuff.
What prompted you to start?
I wanted another income stream that, truthfully, like, I felt that I could do from my house and like didn't have to go anywhere. And I had a friend who made a big career, and like my friend Bree Esrig, who like does a lot of that and is like super successful at it. And so I was like, you know, I made some videos with her where I was like, this will be, you know, like split the money or whatever, and give her sort of like some promotion, you know, because mm-hmm. that's her main, I think, form of income. And it wasn't mine. But I just thought, like, I was like, I don't know, I'm curious, let's give it a try, whatever. But I wouldn't then like hop on like a blog or Twitter and act like I'm an expert or act like I should be very famous for this. I don't know. I didn't feel like I had a place to speak in the community. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't profit off of it in that way, if that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't.
I also feel like there's something problematic about celebrity women being like, oh my God, the female body is so off limits and so sexualized and so secretive that if mm-hmm. I show you my boobs, then that's wild. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's still, I mean, honestly, to me, it's like, get your money. But I just don't think.
No, totally. But I just think that, like, I think that, like, in a way, even though they're acting like it's like, oh, I'm cool with this and that's why I'm doing it, it's still like a news story. It's still like, can you believe blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's what I don't like. I don't like that it's using a platform that is literally the only place that sex workers can do this at this point, especially during COVID when all of it's gone online, mm-hmm. mostly. I don't like the idea of you trading on the idea that someone might see you do sex work versus like if you're not actually doing it, and also like trading on the cool factor of the name OnlyFans, or like using
or how scandalous it is. I think that's like leading into how that's better explaining what I meant, like that it's so scandalous for so and so to be topless,
right?
Whereas like, no, it's just the human body. Meanwhile, these other people have been like doing sex work for years. They're like better at it. They like have built a whole brand. They've built a whole look. They like know what they have, a bunch of different content, you know, versus like, wow, can you believe I took my shirt off? Like, who cares?
I know. And I understand like wanting to make money off that, but I do think that there are.
But then you're taking that money away from everybody else. That's what I'm saying, right?
You're taking that money away from everyone else. There is something to be said about like, well, like you're not, you know, you're not taking money from someone else. Like someone could subscribe to both. But also like, it's that's not the purpose of OnlyFans. The purpose was not for you to, I don't know. I just, it just rubs me the wrong way, this using of even just the word OnlyFans to be interchangeable with celebrity showing a nipple. Like it's not like these people that are putting in the work to like make stuff and then they face consequences that like you're never gonna face as like a famous person, and you're able to like weigh the, you know, the abilities of like, well, is this gonna affect me, is it not, am I using it to be edgy? But then like the sex worker who's like regulated and having like, you know, problems with like family finding out or whatever, they don't have that same edgy, cool, whatever.
They have like a lot more stakes what they're doing. And then like, and the payoff is more crucial.
Yes.
Like they need that, you know, like that's their form of income, versus like if you're a celebrity and you do like one OnlyFans post, like the stakes are almost zero. And the payoff is like just extra money for you to have that you don't need.
There's a way to do it, I guess, if you're truly trying to be in the community and you're truly like going to put in the work and stuff. But if you're just there as a tourist, it's like that sucks for the people that are there the whole time.
And it's also making OnlyFans change their policies and become more mainstream. And like, who knows that this will then lead to like a year from now, sex workers aren't even allowed to use that platform.
So right. That's like, the
huge fear.
Yeah. And that's why I never was like, you know, let me make this about me. I'm going to talk, you know, like I was just, I didn't feel like I needed to leverage the fan base. I didn't feel like I needed to become like a hot topic or like become a person who could speak on this as like an expert. Cause I'm like not. And there are plenty of people who are putting in the work daily that you should absolutely talk to and center their stories. And like Bella Thorne was like, well, I want to make a movie about sex work. And it's like, that's great. Talk to a fucking sex worker. Like, what? Yeah. No, it's not about you.
Tamika, want to come on in and maybe not share your thoughts on this topic, but whatever topics you want to talk about.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this topic, but I'm still finding it funny that during the international question, we still have no idea how higher education works. And we didn't even realize our advice might be super outdated until like, the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still tricky adapting to a COVID world.
But also, like, even you get to college and you don't know anyone and you might really latch on to your roommate. Like, you put up with maybe more than you should. And you can find other friends, although I guess you find them on Zoom in your classes and you say, hey, would you like to privately Zoom? And you try to not sound creepy while you say that.
What do we rate this episode?
I rate it 6 out of 6 t-shirts with Becca Martinez's face on them.
Very good. I will rate it 7 out of 5 unplanned pregnancies.
Ooh, okay. Only 7 out of 5?
That's high.
Oh, it's over. I thought 5 out of 7, and I was like, oh, that's kind of an... Usually we try to do above and beyond, but like, okay.
I rate it... 10 out of 10 scripted fiction podcast series.
Hey! Thank you so much. Apocalypse Untreated, out September 24th.
Thank you so much to Becca Martinez for being our guest. Just Between Us is hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabby Dunn.
Our engineer is Brendan Burns. He also composed our killer theme music.
Our producer is Tamika Weatherspoon. Our executive producers are Chris Vannon and Josephine Martorana.
Just Between Us is a production of Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.